COVID-19 crisis spurred major policy decisions to prop up the economy in general and the financial industry in particular. Now, one result is that mortgage rates remain low. So is it time to refinance? Rate cuts and pledges to buy billions of dollars worth of mortgage-backed securities by the Federal Reserve are now baked into the system. So what does that mean for refinancing? Rob West talks with mortgage expert Dale Vermillion to find out, and it's your calls on this or anything financial at 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. Great to have you along on MoneyWise Live. Well, Rob, Dale Vermillion is the author of Navigating the Mortgage Maze, and with more than three decades of experience in the industry, he really is our go-to guy when it comes to mortgage advice.
That he certainly is, Steve. And Dale, great to have you with us again on MoneyWise Live.
Hey, Rob. Hey, Steve. What an honor to be back with you guys. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're going to have some fun today. We're going to cover a lot of ground on mortgages and also take some calls. I'm sure there are many out there that have questions that are mortgage related. Dale, of course, we're in some unprecedented times right now, and you really think the mortgage industry might be one of the bright spots in the economy. Tell us about that.
You know, I really do, Rob, and the reason is because when you look at the economy, what the stock market's doing, it's hard to predict what is going to happen. We're seeing a lot of losses with people in their investments, but when you look at the mortgage industry and you think about what you can do today with the low rate advantages out there in a refinance to put yourself in a better position to get out of debt faster, lower monthly payments, if you need to, you know, capture some cash for reserves to protect your family, it's a great time for that. And being in a home is much more stable than being in a rental position because you don't have a landlord who can change your rent when supply and demand changes. You've got a fixed payment that you can count on to budget around, and that's really important.
Yeah, there's no question about it. You know, as you reflect on the current environment that we're in right now as it relates to the mortgage industry and rates and everything going on in the housing market, what are the primary mortgage challenges but also the opportunities you're seeing right now?
So I'm going to refer to Ephesians 5:15 and 16 to start that answer because these times remind me of this. It says, "Be very careful in how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." And then we are in times that are crazy, like you talked about at the top of the show. You know, today the challenges are that products and programs in the mortgage industry have tightened up quite a bit in the current market. And that means that if you have a low FICO, it's going to be hard to find financing. If you're under 620, there are still some programs out there, but it's going to be harder to find those. Qualifying is going to take longer, and the process is going to take longer because a lot of things that used to be done, you know, face to face are now being put into a technological environment, and things like notarization and loan closings are becoming more difficult to do. If you're buying a home, obviously seeing homes and going through the process of viewing homes, a lot of that's being done now digitally or through visual conferencing. So there's just a lot of changes in the marketplace today where there's less products and less programs. The good news is, as I mentioned, rates are at all-time lows right now. Equities have not declined much at all on a national scale. So there's still plenty of opportunities out there. And there is inventory starting to open up now, and purchases are actually starting to increase a little bit.
Yeah. Some folks are surprised at mortgage rates, even though they're low. And when we look back over the decades, they're very low. But folks might have expected them to fall even more than they have, given what they're hearing in the news headlines about essentially Fed funds rates being at zero. Talk about the difference between the two.
Yeah, such a great question. So a lot of times consumers think that the Fed rates are directly correspondent to consumer rates, but they're not. The Fed rate going down does not necessarily have a direct impact. In fact, when the Fed first went to 0% interest, consumer rates actually went up. Yeah. What you've got to understand is that rates are controlled by the government. They have been for a while now to try to stimulate the economy. Rates have been at lows for a long time, but they've recently gone down to historic lows. And they're not going to go to zero anytime soon. So if anybody's holding their breath for that, I wouldn't do so. I would take advantage of the great rates we got right now. When you start looking at, you know, today, I think it was 2.91% was the average on a 15-year loan and 3.56 on a 30. Those are pretty great rates.
That's the voice of Dale Vermillion, and we're happy and blessed to have him with us today on MoneyWise Live. If you have a question about mortgages, things along those lines, now's the time to call 800-525-7000. We'll be back with more and your calls after this.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money: A Step-by-Step Plan for Experiencing Financial Contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Our friends at Sound Mind Investing have been helping Christians reach their financial goals since 1990 with step-by-step guidance for investors just getting started, making choices in a 401k, or getting ready for retirement, all grounded in God's Word. The SMI slogan is Financial Wisdom for Living Well. More information is available online at soundmindinvesting.org. The SMI website also includes articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
Oh, get in, Darla. I'll drive.
Oh, thanks, Grace. Hey, I saw the fish symbol on your truck.
Oh, yeah. Greg and I don't like bumper stickers, but when we saw that fish, we knew it was the perfect way we could witness to people.
Hey, watch where you're going!
Shouldn't you use your turn signal?
Most people know what the fish stands for, but we got the one that says Jesus in the middle, so there'd be no doubt that we're believers.
Oh, wait, no you don't! You merge with me. I've got the right of way.
Did you really have to speed
I mean,
up?
Bumper stickers are so tacky. We thought that little fish would be a nice, subtle way to start conversations.
Oh, you'll start conversations, all right.
What? Well, anyway, I was kind of surprised because it seems like ever since we put that thing on our car, drivers have really been rude to us. I guess that's just the cross we have to bear, right? I'll go when I'm ready to go.
Colossians 4, 5, and 6 says, "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone."
These people need to know about the love of God.
A message from the Moody Broadcasting Network.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
You're listening to MoneyWise Live, where timeless wisdom, God's wisdom, meets today's financial choices and decisions. And if one of the decisions you're pondering is whether or not to get a mortgage, whether or not to buy a house, set that decision on the shelf for a while. I mean, good time, bad time, crazy time, that's for sure. Dale Vermillion with us today, author of Navigating the Mortgage Maze.
Dale, so glad to have you here today. And you know, we were talking about some of the opportunities in the mortgage space, and clearly these low rates present a great opportunity, especially if folks can save at least a point and they shorten the rate, or at least don't extend, or excuse me, they shorten the term, and they're planning to stay put for a while. But there's also some challenges. I guess one of those challenges would be these lenders are going to be scrutinizing income verification perhaps even more than they had previously. Would that be true?
That is correct. In fact, they are going to do a check the day of closing to make sure that you are still gainfully employed. So it's important that you know kind of what the condition of your employment is going in, because it's going to be checked right up to the day of closing. Proverbs 27:23 says, be sure you know the condition of your flocks, give careful attention to your herds. I think that's good advice in this case. Yeah. You want to make sure you've got all your documentation in line for a loan today. And also recognize that there are still ample programs out there today for purchasing a home. You know, even though the FICO scores are a little bit tighter, there are still programs out there that you can get in and get homes for FHA and VA and all of those different programs. So the mortgage industry is still alive and well for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, very good. What about strategies for creating financial security and even what you call, Dale, a safe harbor? What thoughts do you have there?
Well, I alluded to this a little bit earlier. You know, that when you think about an economy where we may be moving into, we don't know what the future is going to hold and how this pandemic is going to work out. But what we do know is a couple of things about home ownership. And one is it provides much greater stability and security financially than being in a rental position because, again, of the assurance of your payments, but also the fact that, you know, even if property values go down, we have seen, I've been almost 40 years in the business now, and I've seen four major market shifts in every time property values have come back. In 2008-10, we lost about 32% in values nationwide. We've gained that back and doubled it back since that time. So it's a safe investment from that standpoint. Historically, not to mention the tax benefits you get with homeownership, which, by the way, a lot of people are not taking advantage of and actually should be. So you want to look very closely at your tax benefits on a mortgage loan. And when you hear about things like forbearance, you know, when you refinance a mortgage, remember, by paying off that mortgage and paying off that, you actually can create up to a 60-day quote-unquote forbearance. We call it a deferral on a mortgage, and that creates a great financial opportunity for consumers too, to be some added savings where you can build some cash in that time for reserves.
Okay, that's the voice of Dale Vermillion, and if you'd like to chat with Dale today about anything regarding mortgages and where you might stand right now, whether it's getting into that first home or refinancing, things along those lines, give us a call. We have open lines at 800-525-7000. Boca Raton, hello, Barbara. How can we help you today? Hi, Barb.
Hello.
Go right ahead, please.
Yes, I have a question. I got a, for my credit card, you know how they send you your FICO score. I had a 810 score. Mm-hmm. Then I refinanced, I applied for a refinance, and they came back and said that my score was 709. Now, I don't understand how that's possible. I question it, and they said that they there's a some place that they use to give you the score, and they don't understand. You know, there was not a sufficient explanation as to why there was more than 100 points difference.
Well, Barbara, this is a very common question, and folks get very confused by this. Dale, talk about the different scoring companies, but also the models within those companies and how those can vary.
Yep. So you've got three different major credit scoring agencies or companies that you can be scored by, and those will vary between them. So that's one of the challenges. The second thing is when you get a FICO score on your credit card, that is a totally different score than the one you will see when you're applying for a mortgage or for an auto loan, for example. Each different type of transaction, the larger the transaction becomes, the more scrutiny that goes into that, and it changes the score. You're going to see a lower score on a mortgage pull than you're going to see, for example, on a credit card pull. So, you know, when you see those
We're losing Dale there for a second. Let's try to improve that line, see if we can get that squared away. You know what I would also say, Barbara, is even though there is a difference between the score you're going to see that you can access yourself and a lender score, which, as Dale said, is going to use a different algorithm because it's for a different purpose. The good news is with an 810, you're in at the almost, you know, 850 is the most you can possibly have. 810 is way up there. But even at, 709, I mean, you're basically going to have access to the most competitive programs out there with the top tier lenders. So you haven't done anything wrong. By all accounts, you're doing everything right and conducting your financial affairs exactly the way you should. Don't be concerned about the difference between the two. It's very common, and you shouldn't have any trouble getting the program you need.
So should she just go back to the same lender and ask them to rerun it or ask them to give a better explanation, or should she move along to someone else? What do you think?
Well, rerunning it's not going to help. Again, it's just the difference between the score that's published on your credit card statement or through your credit card company is different than a lender's score for a mortgage. It's very typical for that score to be lower. But even at a 709, she shouldn't have any trouble qualifying for the very best programs.
All right. We appreciate that call, Barbara. Thanks very much. Dale, do we have you back again, buddy?
We were having
too.
A bad...
You've got me.
All
thank
right.
you.
All right, great. Let's take another call. Fairbanks, Alaska. Hello, Kathy. You're on with Rob West and Dale Vermillion. What's your question?
Hi, guys. So Hi. My husband and I are hoping here, looking at purchasing a recreational use property, land, and a cabin off the grid. And the purchasing price we've agreed on is $195,000. And we had hoped to take the money out of our retirement funds to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't have a penalty because we're over that age, but we've already got earned income and another pension income this year of a fair amount. So we were told that if we just took that straight out, we'd have to pay $17,000 in additional taxes this year. So we're trying to figure out, okay, what can we do? We've got, you know, this much in a Roth IRA. That wouldn't, but it's not that much. It's $30,000. We could borrow against an annuity, but that isn't.
Yeah.
That looks like it's not. That's $50,000, and the payments would be really high. We only want to pay for it, you know, like just stretch it out over like 3 years so the tax thing wouldn't be so such a big deal.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to suggest, Kathy. I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish your question.
Well, my husband says, let's just go for it. Let's just pay the $17,000. It pains me to do that. So I'm just trying to figure out if there's an alternative.
Yeah. Well, I think having all of the information, and possibly you already do, but I want to make sure you have all of the details. Do you have a tax preparer that's run this analysis for you?
We have a friend who's a CPA. I called her up and gave her, you know, what we had paid last year and what we'd earned so far this year. We haven't sat down with anyone.
Okay. I would recommend that because I think that would give you and your husband peace of mind and arm you with the information you need to make a really good decision here. The key is going to be you're going to have to pay the tax either way. And by the way, I'm assuming you have enough in the way of cash reserves so that you can fund your lifestyle based on the income sources you have and the money you've got, that this makes sense for you to pull this money out and make this purchase. But let's set that aside for a second and assume all of those pieces are in place. Then really, at the end of the day, the question is, how can you be most cost-effective with God's money and do this in a way that makes sense and also doesn't violate your convictions? And by that, I mean, if you both or one of you had a conviction that we absolutely don't want to take on any debt as a part of this, even though we could always sell the property and pay it off, if you had that conviction, I'd say then let's just set that one aside and not put that in play. But if you and your husband together were comfortable taking a small mortgage and spreading this out over 2 or 3 years to minimize the tax burden, because then you wouldn't be adding all of this money as taxable income in 1 year on top of the income you already have, then that seems to make some sense to me on paper and allows you to kind of spread this out over 3 tax years, assuming you and your husband are comfortable with that. So I would pay this tax preparer, this CPA friend, for her time to sit down and just do an analysis for you. Take a look at what you're trying to accomplish, the various sources, various assets that you have, and what the tax implications would be if you did it all in 1 year, if you did it over 2 years, or even over 3 years. And then just look at whether taking a small mortgage to float those 3 years would make some sense and reduce that tax liability. And then you and your husband have all the information you need. You stop, you pray about it, and you make a good decision. That would be the direction I'd go. And I think with that information, it'll become plain and obvious where you need to go from here. Yeah. Dale, we have just a few seconds before the break. Any additional thoughts to add to that?
No, that was great advice. And the only thing I would add to that is the interest on that loan for that 3 years is going to be less than the $17,000 based on the 3% interest rate, which is probably where you'd be today. So it may be better and beneficial to do exactly what Rob said. I completely agree.
All right, great. That's the voice of Dale Vermillion. You can find his book wherever good books are sold. It's titled Navigating the Mortgage Maze, The Simple Truth About Financing Your Home. What's simple is the way that
It's all laid out for you in this book, Navigating the Mortgage Maze. And with that, we'll be right back.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow. But sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Do you know the 7 things not to do with your money in uncertain times? And would you like to know the 10 ways to trim your budget amid the current pandemic? You'll get those answers and much more when you subscribe to the new MoneyWise e-magazine. You'll receive valuable expert articles and easy-to-follow advice. You'll even get access to exclusive podcast episodes. And your subscription is free. Get access to the MoneyWise e-magazine at moneywise.org/signup.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
Jot down 1 Corinthians 2:13 and 14. 1 Corinthians 2:13 and 14, and listen to this terminology. Don't turn there for sake of time. "This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths with spirit in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned." When it just boils right down to it, what you and I are going to talk about today is spiritual discernment. How to discern what the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do in areas of your life that are not just black and white in Scripture. There are some things we just flat don't have to pray about. I mean, they're just there. They are just there. We know that is not the will of God. But there are so many things that we'll, in the day in, day out relationship. Lord, is this, do I go to this person's rescue or not? You see what I'm saying? And I don't mean when a man is dying on the side of the road. That's a given. But I am saying when we're not really sure whether this is our call. A need does not constitute a call. And so we need to figure that out. Because God sets us up, but the enemy also sets us up.
You've been listening to A Quick Word with Beth Moore. Maybe you're like me, always on the go. The free Living Proof app is a perfect tool to help you stay connected, encouraged, and in His Word with Beth. Download the free app today. Just search for Beth Moore in the App Store. Thanks for listening to A Quick Word with Beth Moore.
Proverbs 22:29 says, "Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men." When I think of a man skilled in his work, you can't leave Dale Vermillion out of that package because he knows his stuff. He's been doing it for over 30 years. He teaches other people in the mortgage industry. He's a plenary speaker and just an all-around good guy and brother in Christ. And if you have a mortgage question today for Dale or Rob West, call 800-525-7000. Did I say all the things about you you asked me to, Dale?
that was so nice. I so appreciate that.
Anytime, brother, anytime. All right, St. Louis, Missouri. Hello, Tom. How can we help?
Hi. Thank you, first of all, for your program. I really enjoy listening to it. And
I enjoy
your truthful advice. So here's my question. I've got I'm 62 years old. I'd like to retire from my full-time job as a welder at 66 and a half. And I've got a mortgage of $150,000, and I've got a pension coming, and if I count Social Security, I'm figuring on about $7,000 a month, which is more than I'm making right now, I think, or would be comfortable. My wife would like to try to quit working. She's 60 years old, or get to the point where she can help out my daughter more with the grandkids. So I've got a savings plan. It's actually a 401k, but I figure it as a savings in. It's got $150,000 in it. I owe $150 on our mortgage, and what I'm about doing is taking $50,000 out of the 401k and doing what they call reamortization. We've got a 4.5% loan on the it was $160,000 loan at 4.5%. I could actually get a little bit lower interest rate than that. I think 3.2, but there'd be about a $7,000 cost in that. And so I'm thinking if I put $50,000 in there, reamortize the mortgage, it'll drop my payment down $300 a month, and that would give us a little more breathing room. And I'm just wondering if that's a good move or not.
Yeah, so if I understand here, Tom, what you're trying to do is get your expenses down during these next 4.5 years before you retire, because at that point, as you said, you're going to have even more income than you have now. But that would allow your wife to go ahead and retire now, spend more time with the grandkids, and reduce your overall spending. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. Dale, what are your thoughts on reamortization versus refinance?
Well, and that was the first thing I was going to say is, you know, you can really accomplish nearly the same thing through a refinance at a rate similar to that 3.2% that he was talking about, and then it's just done, and there's not a whole lot of fees if you really shop it well that you're going to pay on that. He was talking about $7,000 in costs. You may not be paying near that much for that size of a mortgage balance, so that may be a better route to go when you're guaranteed and you can be at as short of a term as you want to get out of debt as quickly as you want and accelerate that. I love the way that he's thinking about accelerating his debt, getting out quick, and also reducing his expenses. Very, very wise. But I would look at both of those options and just compare which one ultimately is going to net you the most savings. That's the one you want to go with.
And would he want to actually get the term equal to the payoff period, or could he just get a longer term but then make the payments in accordance with the schedule?
Get the term to the shortest term you can. That still gets you in the payment that you want to be so that you're not extending too far out. That's always the wisest choice to make.
Tom, we're glad you called today. Thank you very much. Christine, Lydia, Bob, we're coming in your direction. Don't go anywhere. This is Money Wise Live with Rob West and our guest today, Dale Vermillion. I'm Steve Moore. We'll be right back.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Hi, I'm Caleb from Moody Radio. The Moody Bible Institute verse of the week is found in Isaiah 35:3-4. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. That's Isaiah 35:3-4, the Moody Bible Institute verse of the week.
I grew up in a Christian home.
But that didn't stop Ronald Clay from trying to rob a Brinks truck. In prison, Ronald learned his father had died.
It was out of nowhere that it happened. It just broke me.
Hopeless, Ronald yielded his life to Christ and turned to Moody Radio for spiritual growth. Today, he's at Moody Theological Seminary.
My goal is to be used in whatever way that he would have me used.
Read Ronald's story in this month's free e-newsletter, Uplift. Go to mymoodyradio.org.
Even in these uncertain times, you can replace fear with hope. And Michael Blue's new book, Financial Hope, is a hands-on study to help you do just that. A short assessment will show you exactly where you are now. You'll then unlock the four ages of biblical financial wisdom and put your action plan in writing to transform your finances. Right now, request your copy of Financial Hope when you support MoneyWise Live with a gift of $25 or more at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The Senate has voted to reauthorize several intelligence programs by a vote of 80 to 16. Senators voting to reauthorize three intel programs that expired earlier this year amid a GOP deadlock on certain provisions. President Trump says the coronavirus pandemic highlights the importance of U.S. manufacturing and moving supply chains out of China, the country he blames for not doing enough to slow the virus. The president today has traveled to Allentown, Pennsylvania, to highlight a U.S. medical equipment distributor and talk about restocking the national medical stockpile. The stock market ending a choppy day higher as a turnaround by banks and energy companies helped end a two-day losing streak. The Dow gained 377 points, the NASDAQ up 80, the S&P ahead 32. This is SRN News.
Super to have you with us today on MoneyWise Live. If you haven't visited our website in a while, you might want to check that out. There are new things there on almost a daily basis, and you'll find us at moneywiselive.org.
You know, Dale, we had a chance to talk to Tom a bit more during the break there, and, you know, I think the key there is with the refinance at what would be a $100,000 mortgage, he should probably be paying a lot less than $7,000 in costs on that refi, right?
Absolutely. Unless there's any kind of like state tax stamps, which run in some states, which I don't think you'd be dealing with, your costs typically are going to be around 2% of your balance on a refinance like that. It's going to be a lot less than $7,000.
Yeah, which gives him the opportunity to potentially get a much lower interest rate at the same time he's reducing his term and getting that payment down to ride out the next 4.5 years until retirement. Tom, we appreciate your call today. Hope that was helpful.
Our next caller is Christine. She's calling from my neck of the woods, North Georgia. Christine, I understand your husband got laid off from his job. We're sorry to hear that, but what's the rest of the story here?
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Before COVID-19, my husband and I were able to save some money. We've paid off all our car loans, and so I consider that as debt-free. So we've decided that we're going to start our home loan mortgage application. But then COVID-19 happened and my husband got laid off. I still have a job, but it's not, I don't get paid as much as he got paid. So my question is, do you think it's a good idea for us to still continue with the application for a home loan?
Yeah. You know, it's probably going to be challenging. We'll get Dale to weigh in just because if you are requiring the income from your husband to be able to qualify for that loan, obviously that's no longer there and will be factored in to the loan underwriting. But let's talk for a second before we get into that just about where you're at financially. Do you have a spending plan? And Christine, how are you, you know, paying the bills, and are you able to stay current with just your income right now?
Yes, for now we haven't touched our savings. We're still using our what we call our revolving fund. So I think we are good in that terms, in that way.
Okay. So you're able to cover your monthly expenses by your income alone if you really tighten the budget up?
Yes.
Okay. What were you looking at spending for this home purchase? How much?
You mean the total amount of the house or
the purchase monthly price?
Okay. Well, we're actually buying the house we're living in right now. It's owned by my husband. They're selling it to us for $110,000.
Okay. And how much were you able to put together for a down payment?
I looked at it. It looks like we will be qualified for a zero down payment. I think it's called USDA. Funding, is that correct?
Okay.
USDA,
Yeah, probably not. But Dale, weigh in on that in terms of what she needs to be thinking about there.
Well, you know, if the income is substantial enough that they can afford it, you certainly can move forward on that. And the question I would ask is, what are you paying right now in rents? Because I just did a quick calculation on a 15-year loan at that $110,000 loan amount at a 3.5% rate. You're only looking at a 786 payment. And if you're paying, let's say, $1,000 or $1,200 in rent, you're actually going to lower on a 15-year term mortgage from where you're at right now, which improves your position. And if that's the case, that may be a wise decision. But it all goes back to making sure that you've got enough, more than enough, to pay the expenses and to cover that mortgage and make sure you're in good position so that when your husband comes back to work, it's just additive income on top of that to pay it down even faster.
Mm. Does that make sense, Christine?
Yes, it does. It does.
Yeah, so I think the key is, you know, we're never thrilled about you going into a home purchase with no down payment. So I'd like for you all to have some sort of down payment, because in the event, you know, we're already in a recession right now. Hopefully it's short-lived, but we could see the housing market pull back. Question is, are you buying it at market or under market, given that this is a little bit of a different situation? And are you going to have any equity going into it? We don't want you to get upside down. So I'd love for you to be able to save. You've already demonstrated you can keep your lifestyle at a minimum because you've eradicated all of your other debt. And so if your husband starts working again, perhaps that's the time to go ahead and complete the purchase. But I think Dale's right. You're probably going to end up saving money in terms of what you're putting out every month. We just don't want to get you in a position where you're upside down and the house is worth less than the total mortgage that you have, even though you're probably going to qualify just based on what we've said today. So if you can put it off, I'd probably delay it for a period of time while you let him get back working and start to put a little aside, and then perhaps take another look at it.
Christine, we wish you and your husband the very best. Thank you very much. Let's go south again to Kissimmee, Florida. Lydia, thanks for your patience, and what's on your mind?
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you. Go right ahead.
Okay. I had a quick question. Me and my husband are middle-aged, and we're trying to, like, well, as I speak to you, I just got a pre-approved letter for a manufactured home that we want to purchase. It's $45,000, because what we want to do is be able to pay it in a few years. So it's about $45,000. It says here, estimate monthly payment is $416, but the lot, we have to pay the lot, it's $480. The estimate monthly payment with escrow was $539.35. So I just wanted your opinion as far as if this is going to be the monthly payment, $539 plus $480. How much more should we send to the principal? That way we can hurry and, you know, pay this off.
Yeah. All right. And how quickly are you trying to pay it down? What would be your goal?
My husband retires in probably another like 8 years.
Okay, so you want to try to sync up the payoff with his retirement date. Dale, how should they go about that?
Well, you know, anytime that you take a loan out and you know what your amortization is, so let's say that you're taking out a 15 or a 20-year loan, you can literally take whatever that interest rate is, recalculate in any kind of a payment calculator online to whatever term you want, 10-year, 5-year, establish what that payment is, and simply make the payment difference between those two and direct it to your principal, and it will drop by that amount, and you'll pay off in that term, and you'll be out of debt quicker.
Mm, very good. Thank you for your call today, Lydia. We appreciate it. And Dale, we're about out of time. We appreciate you stopping by today. I always love your perspective. You give such practical advice, but it's always infused with biblical wisdom. Leave us today with some thoughts from God's word on how we should think about using his money and even the role of debt and how that intersects with it.
Well, you know, Proverbs 22:7 is always one of my favorite verses. It says, just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is servant to the lender. Remember, we want to be out of debt, not in debt. Romans 13:8 says that we want to owe nothing to anybody except for our obligation to love one another. So always work toward that debt freedom. And I want to say one more thing on that caller that called about the unstable position. You always want to avoid going into a purchase when you're unstable, unless you're going to improve dramatically your situation. And that's a very, very rare that happens. So use God's wisdom in all of these things. Pray before you make any decision, and you will be making the right one if you follow God's lead.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, Dale, thanks for stopping by. Listen, you stay safe. Tell the family we said hello, and we'll look forward to having you back real soon.
Thanks, Dale.
Do the same. God bless. Thank you.
God bless to you. Again, the title of Dale's book, if you'd like to check it out, and we urge you to do so, especially if you're thinking of buying or refinancing, or maybe you have a family member or friend who's thinking about that. Navigating the Mortgage Maze, the Simple Truth About Financing Your Home. When we come back, we'll take some more calls from Bob and Gary, and, well, stick around. We'll be right back.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. Back in the 70s, it was in vogue to be called a Jesus freak. It was an amazing time during the hippie era when we enjoyed a harvest of young people coming to the Lord unashamed of the gospel. How far we've fallen from that moment in time. Today, no one wants to be known as a Jesus freak, especially not our young people. To the other extreme, Christians have gone into the closet, just everyone else has come out. That's why our world is falling apart and most of us are in shock. So what are we to do? Drop the term, but an army of Jesus freaks from all segments of our culture saturating America with the love of God would change everything. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone you're with today closer to Jesus. If you want to know how easy that is, go to ROTW.com.
Hi, Rob West here. Stories can be a powerful way to motivate people. If you've been helped by listening to MoneyWise Live, sharing your story will encourage others to follow God's financial principles and help free them to serve the Lord more fully. I want to ask you to consider leaving a testimony after the program by calling 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Thanks, and God bless you.
Money and life run on the same track, but unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
G.K. Chesterton was a wry British writer who combined humor with sharp insights on culture and Christianity. Take these words, for example. "The Bible tells us to love our neighbors," he wrote, "and also to love our enemies, probably because they are generally the same people. So, whether you get along well with your neighbors or not, the Christian's responsibility is to love them. Think for just a moment about your neighbors. Think about their needs, the needs they might have today that you might be able to meet. And then demonstrate Christ's love for your neighbor by being the one to meet that need." This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's love for your neighbors on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com and get your roadmap for life. Route 66. Start your journey home today.
MoneyWise Live, and we're happy to be tuned in to your radio today, and we're glad that you're out there listening and calling. So let's continue on with calls. Wheaton, Illinois. Hello, Bob. Thanks for holding. How can we help you, sir?
Hi. Thank you guys so much for taking my call and for all you do.
Happy to.
Long-time listener, and you've been a terrific benefit to me and I'm sure all the listeners. My question today is, I'm trying to assess the wisdom of paying off my house for my 401k. So I understand there's a clause in this COVID-19 legislation that allows people to take up to $100,000 penalty-free, and then you're allowed 3 years to pay the taxes on that. That's about the balance of my mortgage. I'm 56, and just would like, I'm making less than I did a few years ago, not nearly the kind of overtime available, and although I do have a reserve account, you know, from time to time, I seem that, you know, like I have to tap into that, and I want to get out of that situation, and I kind of want the peace of mind of just having the house paid off, trying to get some counsel on that.
Sure. And you're right, Bob, in the sense that the CARES Act does affect withdrawals from retirement accounts if you're affected by COVID-19. And that's, even though there's a broad definition there, we need to keep in line with the spirit of what the intention here is. So it says if it's related to the coronavirus, and you'd probably want to just do a little bit more research as to what qualifies for that. But if that's the case, then you can withdraw up to $100,000 from an employee-sponsored retirement account like you have. And that will be penalty-free if the distribution is made this year in 2020. There's no mandatory withholdings. And you can spread the tax out in terms of spreading that as income out over three tax years, this year, next year, and 2022. Now, you can pay it back over the 3 years and then claim a refund on those taxes. So you've got to look at the nuances just to make sure you qualify. But I think the key is that that would give you an opportunity there. Now, should you do it? Well, you know, I'm not crazy about the fact that you would take this money out that is in a tax-deferred environment that could grow over the next however many years, let's say 10 years between now and your retirement, to be there as a meaningful source of your income in retirement. Even though I love the fact that you would be debt-free, I'd rather you limit lifestyle and send more every month to the mortgage payment out of cash flow, out of your margin, so that you sync up your payoff with your retirement date, which thereby drops your lifestyle needs in retirement, but still gives you the full value of this 401k that's growing over the next 10 years, properly invested, properly diversified, especially given the declines we've seen in the stock market, which we think will, you know, see a recovery over the next 6, 12, 24 months, you know, to where we were pre-COVID and higher levels beyond that over the next, you know, 5 to 10 years. So that's the only reason, unless you just had a real conviction, I just absolutely want to be out of debt. I think from a financial standpoint, given the low interest rate that you have, I'd rather see you fund that accelerated payoff out of margin as opposed to the 401k, just given that it is still taxable and that money's not going to be there working for you between now and retirement. Do you follow?
Yeah, I do.
It doesn't sound like you're thrilled with that approach, though. I can hear it in your voice.
You know, my wife doesn't want to do it, and I do, and I guess I find in 34 years of marriage that she acts as in a strong way as my conscience, you know, and so I'm typically best listening to her,
You started the call today by saying how much you appreciate the program, and now that I've come down on her side, I hope you still feel the same way. I'm just joking with you.
I do. I thank you for this, and it just kind of leads me in the direction that I was thinking I needed to just kind of stick by what and keep plotting and we do pay extra towards the mortgage. I'll continue to do that. Thank you, folks, much.
Okay. God bless you, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. You know, another way Bob might look at that is when he goes on vacation, does he go with his wife or does he go with you, Rob West? And and then maybe that'll help you make a choice.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I came down on her side, so it sounds like she and I are on the same page.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You came down. I'm sorry. Okay. I was thinking of something else. All right. Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Hey, Gary. How can we help you and strengthen your marriage at the same time?
Oh, very good. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My wife listens to your program every chance she has, and then she interprets for me. So I'm listening to my wife. But last week, she heard a comment about a $300 contribution to a 501c3 organization that it is tax deductible, even if you do not itemize on your income tax. Is that true?
It sure is. Yes.
Yeah. Number two, though, is that applicable to, we've got a little bit of extra money, and if we could, can we donate another $300 to a different 501c3 organization?
No, sir. It's going to be a total of $300 in charitable contributions that essentially are deductible above the line, meaning before you consider your deductions. Now, you could obviously give much more than that and deduct much more than that, assuming you itemize. But if you take the standard deduction, you would be limited to a total of $300 in charitable contributions where you could deduct that even with the standard deduction in place.
Okay, that answers my question. Thank you very much.
Right. Yes, sir, and thank you for your generous heart. We appreciate your call today.
Thank you, Gary. And I think we can squeeze in one more. Let's go to Miami, Miami, Florida. Hello, John. Welcome to the program, and what's on your mind?
Thank you. So my situation is my in-laws loan us about $130,000, and we use that money to purchase a home in our name. So now I want to know what options are available to us to kind of repay that loan to my in-laws since we have 100% equity on the house.
Yeah. So do you have the ability to pay them a portion of that out of savings or other assets or not?
No, we've just been making a monthly payment to them.
Okay. And what do you owe them today? Roughly the same amount you borrowed?
No, we owe them about $110,000.
Okay, great. And how long ago was this you purchased the home?
3 years ago.
Okay, and what do you think the value of the home is today?
It's about $150,000, okay. $160,000.
All right. Do you have any other debt?
No, we don't. I have car loans.
Yeah. All right. Well, the most cost-effective way to go about this, John, would be to just to take out a first mortgage on this property equal to the amount that you owe your in-laws. And that's going to be, you know, at the lowest rate possible. You've got, $40,000 in equity. That's a good number, well beyond the 20% we would say at a minimum you should have. And assuming you have a good credit score and good income that's verifiable, you'll be able to get a very attractive interest rate right now. I'd try to keep that term as low as possible. Most people default to 30 years. If you could get away with a 20-year mortgage and it still fits into your budget, meaning the payment, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance is not more than 25% of your take-home pay, I'd keep that term as low as you can. But that would give you a sense, essentially the cash, then to pay your parents back or your in-laws back, and then you'd just work on paying off that mortgage in the coming years. That's going to be the most cost-effective way to go about it.
So you said a first mortgage, but that's not a home equity, right?
No, yeah, I would get it. I would get a fixed rate first mortgage, and it's going to be essentially a cash out because you need the cash. You're not replacing an existing mortgage, and it's not for a purchase. But that would give you a rate that's consistent. It's not going to move over time, and then you could take that cash and pay your in-laws back.
Awesome. John, I appreciate you assisting me.
You're great. Welcome. Go to bankrate.com and check that out. You can also check with your local bank. And if you have a mortgage broker, perhaps in your local church, you could check there as well.
John, thank you very much. We appreciate that. And Rob, with just a little bit of time left, this is unfair of me, but the MoneyWise
email is never stopped you
before. I know it. I'm going to throw caution to the COVID winds here. The MoneyWise e-magazine, tell us quickly about it and where listeners can go find it.
So go to our website, moneywiselive.org. You'll see a green band there near the top where you can sign up for MoneyWise's brand new e-magazine. Volume 1 is out with the theme of embracing financial hope. You'll find some great articles there on trusting in God, the ultimate source of our hope, 7 things not to do with your money in uncertain times. That was a podcast Steve and I recorded with financial veterans Ron Blue and Howard Dayton, as well as some great articles, 10 ways to trim your budget while self-isolating, and even our Made a Budget article, plus much more. So check that out. Sign up for it. You'll get that quarterly. There's no cost to it, and I think it'll be a blessing to you.
And that should fit anyone's budget. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. Thanks so much for being there today. Have a great remainder of your day. Join us again next time.
And I think we got a little more time, Steve, so we can hang out for a few more minutes.
We do have a little more time. We do. You know what? My clock has apparently caught the virus as well because it It's not doing what clocks ought to do. I'll speak to it after the program today. So, okay, well, in addition to that, there's the Bible study, the Financial Hope Bible study that I didn't think we'd have a chance to squeeze in. But we do have a Bible study called Financial Hope, Find Freedom in Your Finances Through God's Word. And there's information about that when you visit the same site, moneywise.org, correct?
That's exactly right. For a gift of $25 or more, we'll send you this great devotion called Financial Hope. And that's our prayer for you, that you'd have hope in these uncertain times.
Okay. Should I say goodbye now?
You're all good now.
All right, this would be a good time to do. All right. MoneyWise Live, as I said, is a partnership between Moody Radio and us. Thanks.